positives that could come out of this. I think that the climate of having a rest feels like a really positive thing.
Good morning, welcome to the Full Totness Breakfast on Sound Art Radio 102.5 FM with myself, Peter Sheeran. It's Tuesday, the 17th of August this morning, and it'll be 17th all day. So, the weather outside, we'll get into that in a little while, but on the show today, we'll be joined by folk musician Barney Kenny, and he'll be joining us. And we'll be playing some of his tunes alongside one I've chosen first to set us off this morning. Well, after this, we will be speaking to Barney Kenny. He's joining us straight after this song. And we're starting off with Ian Jury this morning.
I could be the drummer in articulated lorry. I could be a poet, I wouldn't need to worry. I could be a teacher in a classroom full of scholars. I could be the sergeant in a squadron full of wallets. What a waste. What a waste. What a waste. What a waste. Because I chose to play the fool in a six-piece band. First nine nerves, every one-night stand. I should be glad to be so inclined. What a waste, what a waste. What a waste. What a waste. What a waste. Stratagems and bruises. I could be a doctor with poetesses and bruises. I could be a writer with a growing reputation. I could be the ticket man at Fulham Broadway Station. What a waste. What a waste. What a waste. What a waste. Because I chose to play the fool in a six-piece band. First night nerves, every one-night stand. I should be glad to be so inclined. Revolution. I could be an inmate in a long-term institution. I could do the wild extremes, I could do or die. I could yawn and be withdrawn and watch them gallop by. What a waste. What a waste. What a waste. What a waste.
Ian Jury, what a waste. I've no idea why I picked that song. We are joined by Barney Kenny. Good morning, Barney.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Now, folk artist, is that fair representation?
I would say it's fair, yeah. Folk, yeah. I normally say folk and roots, but that's fairly expansive. There's a lot of us. but yeah, I think I try and not fall into too much of a folk or a blues trap or a roots trap. It's sort of, when I do a live gig, it's a bit of a mix. So yeah, folk is where I would head to first of all, but yeah.
Yeah, and now we don't know each other, so we're starting from scratch. So everybody's getting to know each other here. So this is lovely. I actually really enjoy this style of doing a morning show. You're in Malmesbury in
up in the Cotswolds.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you always been there?
I was born in Bath and then raised up in Malmesbury. Left when I was 18. And headed down to Cornwall. I was down in Cornwall for 3 years. I lived up on Dartmoor for another two after that.
Oh, whereabouts on Dartmoor? Tell us that, because that's close to us.
Well, it's kind of where a lot of my musical, not stylings, but I'd say my journey into music was started, really, during my Dartmoor time. I mean, I was always playing in bands and writing music when I was sort of 15, 16, up until I left university. But I moved to Dartmoor when I was about 21, just outside Plymouth, so in Tavistock, right on the middle of the moors.
Oh, wow.
And I met my bandmate and good friend, Ollie Wilden, when we were living there. And we started playing music together when I was about 21, 22. And we've released two albums under the band of Tamar, so that's the two of us. It all kind of stemmed from those years, really.
Right, okay. So what sort of band was Tamar, then?
We're a folk duo, really. So there's just the two of us, but Ollie specialises in writing music about where he's from, which is sort of West Dartmoor and around Yelverton, Princetown, Tavistock, that sort of neck of the woods, really. And he's a fantastic writer of traditional tales and songs, really.
Yeah, now this
which I was always been really interested in. And we kind of both just hooked up and started writing the same kind of music. So Ollie plays guitar and fiddle, and I'll play lap slide or dobro or guitar over the top of him, really. And like, it's sort of Simon and Garfunkel, but sort of with a big Dartmoor West Country twist.
Yeah,
it's really good fun.
One thing I've we have the Friday Feeling, and we have Katie Whitehouse here on a regular basis, and the thing that strikes me, because I was never a folky myself, but I really do enjoy this this storytelling aspect of folk, and that is actually effectively the way folk music really came about. Was it was storytelling in order to people would travel from town to town and tell stories. It's like
exactly,
a news
that's
media.
That's always been why that's always been my go-to for writing, was always about the story element and working the music around a story rather than the other way around.
Lyrics first, music second.
A lot of people write differently. I always end up starting with a chorus and work from a chorus. My typical style would be sort of the normal A-B-A-B C pattern. So just a couple of verses, couple of choruses, nothing fancy, nothing groundbreaking, but it's a really nice format to write in. And I always really enjoy the element of trying to get a whole story or a whole person's life into sort of three verses and three choruses almost. It's a really nice challenge, but as with all folkies, like, you can sometimes go a little overboard and you end up thinking you've written something incredible and it's about 8 minutes long with 18 verses. But it's a really nice challenge to set yourself, is sort of condensing everything into a 4 minute song.
I love an 18 verser. Have you got any on your playlist today, this morning?
Not quite an 18er, no. With the record, I sort of stepped away from writing the 7 minute ballads and tried to scale it back down. I mean, there's a 6 minute on there, which is probably my most self indulgent one on that record.
That's not long enough to go and get a cup of coffee, I'm afraid. So we'll
not too many dead sailors on this one. So,
so how long have you been going it alone as Barney Kenny?
Well, really, since I left Devon, really. So 4 years was when I moved up to the Lake District, and sort of I didn't know anybody, didn't know anything, and I had to do it on my own. So I started reworking these songs and my live set back into a solo experience. So it's just myself, a stomp box, and a guitar or a lap steel live. So there's quite a lot of sort of trad covers that I've reworked into stompy bangers.
And tell us what a stomp standards. Box. Tell us what a stomp box is.
Oh, it's literally just a bit of wood that you tap the beat with your foot on. So it's like having a drum, really. Yeah. But
bit of wood with a microphone
big.
In.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just something that gives a beat, really, because I think that's the most important thing for a busy small club gig or a pub gig, is to provide a beat or a rhythm for people, because that's the thing that captures them the most. You can play the best song in the world, but if it doesn't have a beat, you're not going to get 40 drunk people on your side.
So you perform quite a lot in pubs then?
I used to do small folk clubs or pub gigs sort of once, twice a week, but then obviously COVID and it's coming up 2 years really for me since I've done anything live. I've done bits here and there, but
is that why you're a pub landlord?
It's even harder than it used to be.
Is it?
I mean, it's not why, but it's
because
it's certainly taken over a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Just imagine, you know, being you've been doing performances in pubs. The pubs close. Get your own pub. Carry on the performances.
I've always been very against performing in my own place. That's just a personal thing I have. I don't like to blow my own trumpet too much. It's a bit of an ego kick for myself, but I'll do anyone else's.
So tell us what the pub is and where.
So the pub was kind of a bit of a life changer, really. We thought it was going to be fairly straightforward, and we moved in 2 weeks before the first lockdown, and we were given 2 weeks by our brewery to redecorate, redo the whole place. So we worked 20 hours a day for 2 weeks, and then we got to opening day, and we got an hour away from opening the doors, and then lockdown one. So then we had to wait 4 months before we opened. Mm-hmm. And then when we did open, we only got open for 4 months, and then we spent another six shut. So out of nearly 2 years, we've not been open longer than 12 months yet.
Oh my goodness.
It's a funny old world.
It's been a
wild ride.
I bet it
but
has.
No, it's all going really well. It's a nice little traditional Cotswold boozer that does gigs on Friday, sessions on a Tuesday, quizzes on a Thursday. It's a nice scale back from mine and my partner's old jobs, which was running a really busy National Trust property. So we wanted to scale down and do a nice, quiet countryside pub, and it really got far too busy. So it's going really, really well. It's really good.
Good. Well, let's hear one of your tracks. Let's start off with Castwellan Road. Now, where is Castwellan Road?
It's not really anywhere, to be honest. It's a fictional place.
I was convinced.
Yeah. I mean, there's an element of truth to it. It's just a fictional backdrop to the story I wanted to tell about. Basically, the EP is a sort of a concept project about my family coming over from Ireland to England.
All right.
During the sort of the potato famine time. So it's just a bit of a backdrop to that as a precursor, really. So this song kind of sets the tone of the record. It's the opening track, and it sets that sort of Celtic vibe, which I try and carry through the rest of the album, really. So it kind of sets the story of a young man, as they all are in folk stories, in love with some unattainable woman, and set to the sort of the backdrop of 19th century Ireland, really. So yeah.
County Lincolnshire, in the heart of England fair, chose to go to sea against the wishes of my friend. And at 15 years, joined the Royal Navy. Of all the maps and charts I've drawn, there's one more mark upon the earth that I am fighting for. My name is Matthew Flinders, I'm an explorer of this world, the very same one that has swallowed me. I lie here in this unmarked clay, never to be found in London town. In London town. The oceans of this world, the first man to map all of Australia. And I'm a man of science, caught in a time of war, trapped between the old world and the new. Of all the maps and charts I would draw, there's one more mark on the earth that I am fighting for. My name is Matthew Flinders, I'm an explorer of this world, the very same one that has swallowed me. I lie here in this unmarked clay, never to be found in London town. London town. Two hundred years have passed since I was at the mast, and I've spent them lying under Euston Square. No compass point or lighthouse could ever guide the way to an unmarked grave. London town. The irony is there in the story of my death. A man of maps with no final location, identified by the lead that bears my name. The sailor boy still at his final station. Out of all the maps and charts I've drawn, there's one more mark upon the earth that I am fighting for. Oh, my name is Matthew Flinders, I'm an explorer of this world, the very same one that swallowed me. I lie here in this unmarked clay, never to be found in London town. In London town.
Matthew Finley? Yeah. That is my complete error. I actually put the wrong one on, which, what a damn fool I am. That wasn't Caswell and Red. We're going to play that instead. But what was that song?
That was called Matthew Flinders. It's kind of the only track on the EP that's a bit of a standalone one, really. I wrote it about an article I saw a couple of years ago about a gravestone of a sailor that had been found when they were digging up Euston Square for the HS2 line. And it turned out that it was Matthew Flinders, who's a really interesting guy. He was a cartographer, a map drawer, and he was the first chap to sort of circumnavigate Australia. And and draw a full map of Australia. Oh. And he had a really, really interesting life. But what kind of grabbed my attention was that his grave had been lost, and no one knew where he was buried, which I thought was a nice bit of irony in the sense that he'd spent his whole life drawing maps and being very, very precise.
Yeah.
And no one knew where he was buried. And it turned out that he was buried under Euston Square, or Euston Station, rather. And they only knew it was him because he was affluent enough in life to afford a lead plate for his coffin, which had his name inscribed on it. So if it wasn't for that, they wouldn't have known it was him. And, they've sort of found his body, and I think there's plans to reinter him back in his hometown. But no, he's a really interesting guy, and someone I would never have read about or found out about if it wasn't for the fluke discovery of his grave. So yeah, really,
yes.
cool story, and a really nice little song that I'm quite fond of, actually.
Yeah, with ukulele and pipes as well.
And not on that one, but there are on Castle Island Road.
Okay, well, yeah. We'll look forward to those. It's funny you should say about Mr. Flinders, because we've got Mr. John Wills from Totnes, and we actually had a program about him very recently. And he was the first person to go from South Australia to North Australia when they were mapping it out.
Well, there you go.
And
he went on
the disastrous trip with Burke and Wills. And
yeah.
Burke was in charge of the trip, and he was a damn fool. And got everybody killed, pretty much. So, including Wills. Not the greatest ending. Not ideal. No, but like all good Brits, we celebrate.
Yeah, why not?
We celebrate failure. Which that sounds like a folk tune already, straight off. But So having made that error, I'd quite like to get straight into Castwellham Road because I mucked that up completely. And tell us about the pipes on this one then.
Yes, so I've always wanted to write a song or a tune for the Irish pipes, the Uilleann pipes. And this is the one that I sort of always had in my head that I wanted some pipes on, but I obviously never knew any pipers. And then by chance, I came across a lady called Catherine Ashcroft up in Cumbria, who had toured with the Riverdance Company, plays in a lot of really great trad bands. She's a fantastic piper, an amazing tunestress. And she agreed to sort of sit in, and we recorded the pipes for two tracks in my shed.
Oh, right.
So this was one of the ones that came out of it. And she said, look, it's a really lovely tune to play on the pipes. It's almost a really nice sort of air vibe. And she really enjoyed the session, and I absolutely love what came out of it.
She lives over waters wide. My darling, she lives overseas. And here I lie on this mountain side, with naught to do here but dream. To leave out from my hometown, early spring 17, to fish up the lakes of North England, asking one thing of thee: will you go with me in the morning when the west winds blow, and we'll walk together, darling, along Castwellham Road, walking rocking castle Ellen Just a poor Protestant lad, and faith means nothing to me. 'Cause I'm in love with a Catholic girl, born in the North Country.
Nice bend at the end there, Castellan Road and the Eulalian Pipes. Are they the ones that you squeeze and play?
Yeah, so there's no, I don't want to sound like I know what I'm talking about, really, but I don't, but they're a squeezy, yeah. There's no blowing in. You don't have to fill it up with air from your own breath.
No. And they're very small bagpipes, so they're beautiful things.
Oh, for me, they're so much. They really pull on my heartstrings rather than the. I mean, I love bagpipes, but the alien ones, they really go somewhere for me. I think they're much nicer.
And you can have them in a smallish room.
Yeah. I mean, they're still bloody loud, but they're very nice. They're very nice, and you can sometimes you can obviously sort of sing with them if you can get over them as a player, but. Yeah, they're beautiful.
Mm. So this EP that you made, The Minstrel Boy, where can we hear that? Where can we get a hold of it?
Well, it depends where you listen to your music. It's on Spotify. Oh. It's on Bandcamp. They're probably the places for streaming. And
go to Bandcamp. Go to Bandcamp, yeah. Folks. Do not go to avoid Spotify if you can.
it's up for streaming on most platforms.
And have you got it in CD form for the people past?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's available. You can buy through Bandcamp, or you can buy through Facebook as well, which ticks your box. Yeah,
sure. And we'll put a link to the Bandcamp on the podcast so people can follow that back to the rest of it. Now, what inspired putting an EP together?
Well, I'd never done a solo record before, and I never really decided to do it. It kind of just happened. It took about 2 years, to be honest. I sort of normally just mess around with home recordings and demos, and I managed to do two, and I thought, actually, you know, if I do two, I might as well do five. But I'd always wanted to do a solo record, because I'd never had total creative control. There's always compromise when you work with bands or musical partners, and which is great, and you bounce off each other. But I really liked having 100% control over how I wanted everything to sound and be played, and what arrangements and what harmonies, blah blah blah. So it was it was great, really enjoyable experience. And I did a lot of it at home, and then I got it mixed and mastered in the studio, so I did a lot of the recording myself,
right?
And then took it in for finishing touches at a really cool little studio up in Kendal, actually, where I was living just outside at the time.
Lovely.
Yeah, it was a good fun, yeah.
So with the outfit Tamar that you've got,
yes.
You used to gig quite a lot by the sound of it.
Yeah, I mean, we toured in 2017. We toured our first album, which was a really cool experience. We sort of did the full living out of the van thing, which was great. And we went up and down, we did Penzance to Cumbria and back, and did a full winter's string of promo gigs, which is really cool, really good fun. But we've released two albums under Tamar, so that's myself and Ollie, and Ollie Wielden. Yeah, he's done a solo album, and I think he released a lockdown album as well, which I should know, but I can't say I've dipped into it yet, which is really bad of me. But he'll kill me for that. But no, we're doing a show next week, so we haven't done a gig for six months or so. We used to do one or two a week, but you know, like, life moves on. We moved away, Ollie went overseas for a bit, and it's really nice because we don't have to sort of get together to rehearse anything. Like, we could play for 2-3 hours and not have had any sort of practice and just slot right back into it. So it's really, really nice. And it's a relationship I've not really had with another musician before.
That must be like getting into comfy slippers.
So it's really nice. It really is, yeah. That's exactly what it is. It could have been that we did it yesterday.
Yeah.
It's really, really nice.
Well, a lovely thing to be able to do. So when's this gig you got next week? Because that's a rare event, and it sounds exciting.
I know, yeah. I mean, after preaching that I never play in my own pub, we're actually playing in my own pub. I totally shot myself in the foot. But it's really, really nice, because myself and Abby have not been able to put on any events really since we took over the pub. So we're finally getting around to doing our own little beer festival. It's our first one next weekend, sort of a bank holiday bonanza, really. It's Friday and Saturday, beer, music, food. It's just a really nice, low-key but simple weekend of bands and guest beer, really. Just classic.
In the Rose and Crown garden. In Malmesbury.
Yeah, if anyone's up in Wiltshire, then there'll be 2 days of music, pizza, beer, hog roast, cider, all the good stuff. There'll be some sessions in the bar as well, so it'll be a really nice little soiree.
And what sort of who else is going to be performing at that weekend?
There's Tamar, that's myself and Ollie. There's a band called Rusty Shackle that are playing. Mr. Francis of Winter Mountain is showing his face. Who else is there? Blah, blah, blah. There's a couple of local acts to the area around here. But yeah, there's some people dropping in from down the West Country and a couple of fairly well-known acts that have pulled in a favour. So yeah, it'd be nice to see some friends again.
You must be pretty excited about having an event like this coming up after so long in a lull of...
I mean, we really tried to do our music evenings even when we were open during restrictions, but it was just impossible. You can't seat people a metre apart in a tiny pub and enjoy music. It's just really difficult. So now the restrictions are all lifted. We can do our bar service. We can have people queuing. We can have outside stuff. It's just so liberating to be able to give something back. People have a good time rather than being told off them sitting in a group of seven.
You must be pretty excited about it, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's been 2 years since I've delivered an event of any sort, really. The last one was a festival I was running up in the Lake District with a really great team of people alongside Abby and a couple of other core members. So yeah, it'd be nice for us to get back into the swing of putting something on and then maybe scale it up next year or around Christmas time. So yeah,
well, I don't want to get too well, but actually we can get into that after we've heard Marie.
Yes, of course. Yeah,
and,
no worries.
Find out more about organizing festivals. You sound like an organizer to me, Barney.
I do like to organise, yeah. I mean, my probably friends and family would say I'm not very organised in my life, but it all comes out in other places. I'm a bit finickety.
Where the money comes from. And obviously, you run a pub because you need something to occupy you away from the huge money-making business of writing and singing, doing music.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's the lucrative game of folk singing.
Yeah,
you know, you're stepping over gold pavements all the time. Yeah. So it's nice to come back down to earth and
just relax in the pub
from the dizzying heights of of trad music.
Yeah, and so Marie, tell us about this song.
This is again sort of loosely framed on a very basic folk style and a very basic folk song story, really. It's all about small village boy comes back from sailing, more than likely, to find his long lost love, and she decides she wants to be with somebody else. But it's a tale that's been told a thousand times, but a really nice little one for me to churn out a gig, and I can do it either with a band or I can do it by myself. But I put a brass section in it because I always wanted to, when I wrote it, I could really hear this sort of horn section, and I've grown up listening to so much stuff, but I've always loved Kate Rusby, and the stuff that she does with that silver band and brass band, the sort of real Yorkshire band stuff, it always resonated with me because a lot of my family is from the north, from Yorkshire, but I loved that style of combining trad folk with a brass band. So I wrote a horn part and got a little sort of horn duo, trio to layer it over the back, and it really takes the song to somewhere that people don't expect it to go. They're listening to it and it's like all guitars, banjos, very cool, very nice. And then the horns come in and it sort of gives it a nice little sprinkle of something different. So it's quite juxtaposed.
Where do you run to, or where do you roam? Where do you run to, my boy? Said the old man with a cap in one hand and a life of regrets on his face. Now where do you run to, or where do you roam? The old woman asked, oh so sad. You must have a girl at the end of the world for you to go running like that. 'Cause I'm off to see my sweet darling Marie. She works at the inn down the lane. She makes me the man that I know that I am. Farewell to you, ladies of Spain. Oh, where do you run to? Oh, where do you roam? I thought you were bound for the sea, said the fish wife as she brought down a knife on the life that she thought she would lead. 'Cause I'm off to see my sweet darling Marie. She works at the inn down the lane. She makes me the man that I know that I am. So farewell to you, ladies of Spain. Oh, where do you roam? I hope that you've not travelled far, for I've taken the hand of a rich southern man whose gold is worth more than your heart. And I'm off to see my sweet darling Marie. I guess I'll return to the waves. You've made me the man that I know that I am. You, my ladies of Spain, going back to my ladies of Spain. Fly the flag for me, ladies of Spain.
Marie by Barney yes. Kenny off the album
The Minstrel Boy.
The Minstrel Boy. And that's an EP you can get on CD and also on Bandcamp.
Yeah, yes, yeah, yeah. Also,
yeah.
Yep.
Very lovely. Now, with this pub you've got, we were yes. actually chatting about that, and I'd like to bring that up in terms of choosing material or artists to come in and do shows. How yeah. are you booking people up now for the the future's hopefully opening up?
Yeah. I mean, it's always a little easier to fill a diary if you are a musician yourself. Like, I've been gigging now for best part of 10 years, so I've got a lot of contacts that are happy to lend their services and are really fantastic players. Like, most of them, like, significantly more experienced or better players than myself. So it's really nice to get people in to a small Cotswold pub that you would never ever get to see in a small Cotswold pub. And that's what a lot of our sort of customers say, like, wow, how have you got these guys? And it's just sort of really nice to bring really good original music to my hometown and to people down here that would normally just be exposed to Man with Guitar does 50s and 60s pop covers. But it's really, really nice, and it's working really well, because it's lovely to be able to give original performers somewhere to come and play where they know they're going to get a good reception, and somewhere that very, like, well-respected people have dropped in and played along the way. And it's really nice to sort of start a bit of a, not a movement at all, but a new venue for people to drop in and play, and for people to come and watch for free as well, which I know is so difficult, because obviously artists need ticket sales, they need prices for X, Y, and Z. But I'm happy to pay a flat fee for people that are happy to play a free entry show. And I think it's so important to be able to access free music in a live scenario.
And it's well known that musicians are really wealthy, so it's not, you know, something that bothers them, I'm sure.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
So
you've got quite a lot of things rigged up. Have you got the next few weeks organized? How far ahead do you go?
We're way into December. We've been chocker for, well, we reopened in April and we were into December sort of quite easily, but I'm there's nothing in for next year, so do get in touch if you do fancy it. If you're on, it's a really handy gig between the southwest and London or the southwest and Midlands. It's a nice halfway point. If you do fancy it, then give me a ring, give me a call, give the pub a ring. We're more than happy to take bookings and to check out new. We're always looking for new people to pop in.
Now, yeah, new people, that's interesting, because many pubs will have cover bands because, I presume it's because, I don't absolutely know this, but because I've heard the argument that they say, oh, our clientele like covers. I don't believe that for a second. I believe, this is my theory, that pubs get cover bands because they don't trust themselves to take on new music, and they're afraid of it, kind of thing. They don't know what they're going to get.
I think there is truth to both parts. It's always a very safe bet. You know that you will get people engaged with it. You know that people will sing, and you know they'll probably, if the act is doing covers and is really good and is engaging, you will keep people in if they're having a good time. But it's difficult when you're a musician like myself who's always struggled getting a gig where you can keep people in the room if they're of a certain sort of persuasion, and they won't be up for listening to original music, because, you know, you've got to remember that 98% of people out on a Friday are not musicians and don't care about anyone's music apart from I want to get lashed up and have a big sing song. So it's a tough one, I totally understand, and I would never hold it against any landlord or any management that want to have covers in, because it does work. I've seen it myself where I've had covers in, and it works, and people do want it. But if you're an original player, there's no harm in, I always do it myself, like stick a couple of covers in every three or four songs. It keeps people engaged, but it also keeps them there for your music as well. And then, you know, it happens every week. People have a really, really good time and they're dancing and they're up to original music, and it's great. And it's so nice to see.
And you've backed up quite a few bands. You've done, as a duo, I guess that's an ideal situation for getting on the back of another tour or something from another band.
As in personally, as in supporting?
Well, yeah, supporting as yourself, Barney Kenny, but also as maybe Tamar?
We've done a couple as the band, and not too much. I've supported more as a soloist. But yeah, I mean, support gigs are just, again, very hard to come by. It's such a saturated world now that, as in the world we live in, everybody is a singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
And you don't have to look more than 2 foot in front of you and find a folk singer-songwriter that'll do a gig for free.
Oh, you know? There's your problem. Play for free.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's
a tough one. I always think that a support gig for a bigger artist is absolute golden ticket, and I'd kill for it, but it's just so hard to come by. Mm. It's so hard to get one. There's always someone 2 steps in front of you that's already there. And yeah, it's tough. It's tough, especially since COVID sort of reopened. A lot of places don't want to have any more people in than they do already, and they're like saying, oh, we're not having opening acts anymore, or at the moment we A, don't have any budget, or B, don't want you bringing four, five, ten more people than we can fit in there. So we're just sticking to the main act, and it's tough, man. It's really tough.
Yeah. And have you, well, we're almost out of time here, but I just wanted to get a question in terms of, as a pub landlord and as a folking musician, do you have difficulty playing one off against the other? Do you sometimes think, oh, you know, do you often have a like to do a gig, but you can't because you're busy running the pub?
Oh yeah, for sure. But if it was, I always weigh it up as, is this actually going to be a gig I'm going to enjoy, rather than is it just another gig? So I'd always rather take a really, really nice gig or a really nice opening slot in a really nice venue than, again, going down to X, Y, and Z's bar and playing to two people for 2 hours.
that must be quite a nice position to be in, actually. That sounds quite good.
It is, but I do really miss it. I mean, having gone from doing two gigs a week to no gigs for 18 months is tough. I think I've massively underestimated how much I enjoyed doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm really hoping to get back to it.
There's an absolute joy to doing it. Well, I think we're going to play out with the title track from the EP. And thank you very much indeed, Barney Kenny, for joining us this morning.
No worries. Thank you very much.
It's been a joy having you on the show. And tell us very quickly what The Minstrel Boy is.
The Minstrel Boy is actually an old tune, so it's not one I've written. It's just a rearrangement. There's a lovely version by The Corrs, which I always used to listen to. I learned I rearranged the guitar part from their version. So it's a tune. It's an old Irish-American tune. I think it's maybe a war tune. I'm not too sure. But it has got lyrics, but I've made this version instrumental. So it's myself and Catherine again on the pipes. But I play the guitar, the bass and all the slide guitar parts, and Catherine is on the Ulian pipes again. But it's just a really lovely tune, and one I've always liked to play. So I hope you like it.
Thank you very much. And you've been listening to the Full Totnes Breakfast on Sound Art Radio 102.5 FM. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you.